Welcome to Sex, Psychics, and Psychedelics, Discovering Inner Liberation. My name is Banana Jane Garnett. I'm a licensed psychotherapist, a lover of freedom, and a relentless explorer of the mind. Please come join me on my journey in hot pursuit of inner illumination and liberation. For more about me, you can find me at The Banana Jane on Instagram. Now let's dive in. Chore Boogie is a critically acclaimed spray paint artist who's recognized for having achieved a groundbreaking level of technical and emotional virtuosity in street art. Within the psychedelic community and beyond, Chore has been called the color shaman. His art is a heartfelt visual medicine, addressing issues of race, class, gender, corporate corruption and substance abuse, drug policy reform, and the rights of indigenous people. Today, I catch up with Chore in Costa Rica to hear about his story of radical transformation through working with the West African psychedelic plant medicine, Iboga.
Hello.
Chore?
Yes.
Hello.
Jane.
Yes. We freaking made it.
All right. Good enough.
Oh, my God. Good enough. My life flashes before my eyes when I can't get technology working. I think maybe we don't have a great connection. That could be it.
I got full bars here, so, you know, but it's still Costa Rica, and Costa Rica's pura vida. So, you know, everything's pura vida out here. You never know what's going to happen.
Well, you never know what's going to happen anyway. Oh, yeah, God, true. Look at that beautiful picture. But is this a mural or a...
No, that's a painting.
Is this on a wall behind you?
No, that's a canvas. That's a painting. Actually, Aubrey Marcus bought that piece.
Stunning.
Yeah, it's actually the first piece I created after doing Iboga.
No way.
Yeah.
Well, I see the booty in it with the red and white face.
Oh, yeah.
And I heard that that's red for blood and white for semen. Is that right?
Red for like menstrual blood. And yes, white for semen for sure. Because the two, when they combine, they create life. So.
Wow. Yeah. It's so direct. I was thinking about how much I love your art, and why. This is a kind of useless question. I spend time asking myself, you know, why do I love this art? But I always loved Francis Bacon because I always loved that sort of raw, visceral energy. And I feel like that's there in your art. But I didn't always feel like Bacon's is the most positive and heart opening. And then you've got that with all this kind of like, I don't know, there's so much heartfelt vitality that it is, it's very medicinal. I find it very encouraging.
Yeah. When it comes to the artwork. I've heard those names thrown at me in comparison to my work. And yeah, every artist has their own different style. And once they find their style, their own originality, you know, or something that really pours from within outward, you know, and that's, to me, a part of the whole entire creative process. So, like you look at my work pre-Iboga, you know, it definitely had universal spiritual elements to it, but it was definitely, you know, pulling some darkness out from within. It was just coming out, and I was putting it on that wall or on any surface, and you can totally feel that energy. And then the interesting thing is that a lot of people related to it because they related to it. I guess they can relate to that, to the darkness within. You know, and I guess the beauty of the darkness within. And once I did Iboga, it changed the trajectory of my artwork. It just added another element to it, which was the more loving element. You know, as you can see the hearts in the background and all that stuff. And
It's so much color.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, that's kind of, I've been doing that for a long time. Long time. colors are part of my legacy. You can say that. Colors and, you know, abstract shapes and forms and combining them both at the same time and creating movement and, you know, light, shape, form, all that stuff. And
It feels like embodied kaleidoscope.
A good term.
Okay, so there's so many conversations I want to have with you, so I have to slow myself down and like be a bit 101, because I want to just get a bit of like, where are you now? What are you up to? And then, you know, your relationship to Iboga now. And then I want to get into the story. And then I want to go for our like, you know, abstract stuff. And if that whole plan is just, you know, misguided, I'm sure we'll be shown that. So, yeah, but let's give it a go.
What's your first question?
Okay. First question is now, tell me what you're up to in Costa Rica and and where are you at with your work with Iboga?
Well, me and my wife, Elizabeth Bass, are out here in lovely Costa Rica. We love Costa Rica. We've been coming out here for many, many years, and our next destination of life travels. And we're working towards opening up our own retreat, Sun River Retreats, that consists mainly of Iboga, but being open-minded to many other things. And, you know, we're in the process of that. And what started that, we've had this plan for many years. And it came to fruition once Elizabeth told me she was pregnant. I was just like, wow, whoa, why don't we have our child in Costa Rica? You know, and we've been together for like 13 years, and the past 6 years we were trying to have a child, and we just kind of like, we're like, oh, wow, if it ain't going to happen, it's not going to happen. But all of a sudden it happened. And now, my son, Ngare Nadumu, which means lightning and thunder, was born February 10th here in Costa Rica. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Sounds like a very bold beginning of a new chapter.
Yeah.
And I applaud your bravery in being open to such, you know, intensity. Lightning and thunder, that's a lot. That's a lot of energy right there.
Yeah, I have a lot of energy myself, a lot of big energy.
So. I've noticed that. That's why I was so excited to talk to you, I think. I was like, it's great.
The apple doesn't fall too far from the tree.
I want to, you've gotten to this, seems to me like this sort of amazing point in life where, you know, it feels like a strange image, but all guns blazing, like your art is on fire. You've just had, you know, your third son and you have a what looks like a wonderful relationship. I know that you've written this love story and you're really...
Elizabeth wrote it.
Elizabeth wrote it. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, you have co-created a beautiful love story.
We co-created it together, yes.
So, you know, this is the kind of life that not everyone manifests. And, you know, from what, you know, I see a lot of creativity and imagination and manifestation, and it's a life of dreams. At least the ingredients are, I cannot, you know, claim to know what really goes on, but this is just what I sort of see and sense. And I also sense, you know, that there's been a really big story to get to this point. And I'd love to hear more about that your journey of, finding Iboga and the transformation that took place.
Okay. Yeah, we can get there. Yeah, definitely. You know, Heart Medicine, Elizabeth's book, we co-created together is about our love story up to that point of meeting the medicine. And it's a nice introduction to the medicine. This there may be a painted picture, a pretty painted picture, but honestly, like we're still living life on life's terms, and definitely, you know, shit is not perfect. Like, you know, I still have my issues, and I'm still working on myself. So is she, and you know, it may look pretty from the outside looking in, from an outsider's perspective looking in, but yeah, it's life, you know, it's life as we know it for what we have created, but and what we're creating together.
I appreciate that response.
Yeah.
Yes, I appreciate that response. My new mantra is everything is everything. Uh-huh. I can do spells of everything is perfect, but in general, I prefer everything is everything, because it brings the honesty in, yeah. You know?
I usually say it is what it is and it ain't what it ain't, you know?
There you go.
So,
there you go. Yeah.
But it's like, you know, we're creating this together, you know, and I like I said, I'm still working on things, you know, she still calls me out on my stuff and I still have, you know, my issues. So, and I know she does too, but it's just like, you know, we tend to work it out. And bringing it back to the book, well, I have to start from one story to get to this story, because the original story where it started was I'm from the streets. I'm from that life. I was doing crazy stuff as a kid growing up. Been involved in
like what?
We can't talk about that type of thing. We can't talk about those
right.
type of
really,
things.
Really, really.
No.
Okay. Really unspeakable. As my mother would say, unspeakable things.
Jails, institutions, death, all that stuff. You know, street life. Like I grew up there. That was a very traumatic life. Still is.
Still is inside you, or still is as you observe
it? Still
is
inside me. Still is. Yeah. Even, but as time, as I bogan in time, and you know, my life has changed. Like I can sit back and like laugh at it. I can sit back and like, oh wow, it's, you know, man, I used to do stuff like that, or I've been involved in stuff like that, and I'm glad I'm not there anymore, because I probably wouldn't be here speaking with you right now. It's that, mm-hmm. It was that serious. I ended up getting clean at the age of 22 from partying, probably from the age of 13 all the way up to 22.
Yeah.
I think the only good decision that I made was my heart, you know, and that I think that helped keep me alive on the streets. So
keep you alive on the streets in what way?
In what way? Because I was out there on the streets doing my artwork out there on the streets. And, you know, I had a love and did it. I have a lot of my art form is from the streets. It is an art form created from the streets. And the aerosol culture. And the connections are like very, very similar, you know, but like
connections?
Yeah, the connections with the culture and the street mm-hmm. life. Very similar.
So you felt more connected through doing that? That gave you a point of connection doing your art?
Well, the aerosol culture, yeah. The aerosol culture, like I said, was the thing that saved my life. And I stayed clean for 13 years. And I that's all I did was just paint and paint and paint and create, did that. And from there, started making money, traveling the world, doing all types of crazy things and, you know, getting a little fame here and there, whatever you want to call it, doing things for famous people and just getting in being involved in these circles. And it just started, like, things started coming my way, you know, and I was holding strong for, like I said, within the 13 years, I was holding strong. Like, I didn't, you know, I was very militant about my sobriety, and because I didn't want to go back to that life. But there was a chance where I said, you know, fuck it, let's party. And I did. Picked up, you know, started off drinking, smoking, and then boom, back to hardcore drugs. And that went on for maybe a couple years. And I just got, it got to the point where, like, certain things, like they say within the Narcotics Anonymous program or within these programs, that, you know, you end up going back to old people, places, and things. And literally that was true. And I ended up back in one of these old bathrooms that I used to get high in when I was a kid. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm still, like, I mean, I can't believe I'm here right now. I couldn't believe it. And from there, I just got to a point where, like, you know, I can't lose everything again. I can't lose my life. I can't lose everything. Because there was moments even where I even OD'd and died and came back like twice. And there was moments where I was like, you know what, I can't lose my life. I can't lose all this, what I built. I built this whole life, this whole career, this art career. I can't lose it. And so ended up coming back from a business trip, and I ended up, you know, I'm like laying dead on the couch, and Elizabeth is looking at me like, what's wrong? What's wrong with you? And I said, you know what? I got to tell her. So I told her, and I said, you know,
she didn't know you'd been using.
Oh no, she didn't know for a couple years. But there was one thing. I was never using when I was at home. I would never bring it to my doorstep. I only did it when I went out uptown and went on business trips. And yeah, that's the only time I was doing that. And that was a lot. And so, I told her, and she started freaking out. She didn't know what to do. There was ultimatums, like, you know, it's either you got to go or you got to get clean. And she didn't want to give up on me. She went out there and, you know, talked to the trees or something. And the trees told her, they just told her, Iboga. I was like,
the way that they do, right?
The way that they do. You know,
yeah.
So I heard of it because I had a friend that did it, but he did it, you know, the wrong way, by ordering it online. And, you know, he was successful in making the extractions and all that stuff. And he, you know, he's a pretty smart guy, but he was doing it to get away from heroin. And, you know, it worked for him for a little bit, but it didn't. But after a while, like, you know, that tradition creeps back in, that Iboga spirit's like, no, you're not going to get away with this. And, you know, it made him pay the price. You know, he ended up having to go to the hospital. So do not buy Iboga online. There are reasons why this medicine has a traditional path. And there are reasons why people that are experienced work with the medicine to help guide you through what an individual needs to be guided through.
Navigation. It does not seem like a desirable medicine to take alone.
You would be surprised. There's so many pirates out there that are selling Iboga online. I mean, so many. And people, there's so many people. There's so many people that buy it because they do not want to. It's like taking the easy way out. They think they know more than the medicine. They think they know more than anybody else. Desperate, on drugs and they need to get off drugs, I highly advise that for any individual to not do that. You know, when I first approached Iboga, and Elizabeth came to me and was like, after she talked to the trees and was like, well, then you need to do Iboga. And I was like, Iboga, you know, so I started like looking into it. And then she started looking into it because she's always been about the traditional path. That's her natural element. Cause her mother's comes from a Native American background. And she grew up in that. So she knows about tradition. So she sought out a traditional shaman. And that's how I ended up in Costa Rica. But, you know, when I first heard about it, I was like, you know, man, this costs what? $7,000? $7,000? And I'm like, whoa. I said, well, what happens if I come in clean? So they knock down, you know, a couple hundred bucks or something like that. You know, or they knocked down $1,000. No, actually it was like $8,000. They knocked down $1,000 because I was going to come in clean. And so I paid like $7, but Elizabeth, you know, she felt like she needed it too, because she had some traumatic experiences when she was growing up and PTSD and, you know, and she ended up going as well. And so there's no price that is equivalent to your life. And that's what was brought to my attention. Like, what is your life worth? You know, $1 million, you know, pay it. You know what I mean? Like, it's your life, you know, your life is worth way more.
Exactly. If you can find it.
Yeah, exactly.
Put it all in front of you. Yeah. Invest.
So
invest. Yeah.
I did it. And it was the best investment I ever made in my life. The best, top notch, best, and far more better than the stock exchange, far more, you know.
So am I right in thinking it was the best?
It was the best. And so,
okay. Just wanted to be clear on that. I wasn't sure that I was getting that message. But yeah. Well, you know, I feel the same about my my experience, which wasn't led by such a dramatic setup.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a much more like I've been in a very long sort of very, I would say, largely unseen private quest to understand things about my own life. And I did a lot of, you know, I did different medicines, psychotherapy, somatic experiencing, mindfulness, blah, blah, blah. And I'd learned along the way for sure. But I couldn't scratch this fucking itch that I had.
Yeah.
And, so yeah, that drove me to it. And I guess why I wanted to bring this up is, to me, that also amounted to the best, because I got to something that I wanted to fucking get to that I didn't know how to get to.
There you go.
So yeah, the deepest.
You know, those are the people that we love working with, you know. It's, you know, I put those in my, I have like two categories of people that I work with, and I call them the cosmonauts, because they're always like, they're always going down this path of self-discovery. And that's what basically Iboga is it helps you understand yourself deeper in a self-discovery sense. And so when we get people that come to us that already have the experience, plant medicines and, you know, this trajectory of self-discovery, you know, I love working with them. They're cosmonauts. I'm like, yeah, man, you gotta just give you some medicine, even though they still have to go through the traditional process, you know, and granted, like they still fucked up too. And they still got shit to work out, you know, no matter what. I don't care.
Yeah,
how clean an individual thinks they are. You know, I thought my wife
still dirty.
I thought my wife
still dirty.
When we went to go do Iboga, I thought Elizabeth was like, you know, pure, and you know, she eats freaking amazing, healthy, and then all of a sudden, like, you would think that she was detoxing off drugs versus me. because she was freaking purging all night, and all I did was just piss after all, just cleanse me right through, you know. But
it's so weird, that isn't it?
It's different. It's
so
it works
weird,
different.
The different reactions.
Yeah, the medicine works differently.
Because I got so ill on it. Uh-huh. And then my stepson, or I guess technically ex-stepson, but he still feels like my stepson. Mm-hmm. He went recently to do iboga. He had been taking a lot of drugs and he was addicted, and he went to take iboga, and he actually went through an ibogaine treatment. Mm-hmm. And he got me on Skype towards the end of his treatment. And I was like, Duke, oh my God, you survived. I can't believe it. Was it just, I mean, it's so hardcore, right? Isn't it just like so difficult and awful and stuff? He's like, he's super chill. He's like, oh, it was fine. Yeah. And I was like, oh,
yeah.
I had that experience. His was completely different.
So he went and he took ibogaine.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah.
So he had it in a different way, non-ceremonial.
Yeah, that's a different context for sure. Yeah, it works for some people.
Yeah.
You know, I've worked with people that have definitely went down the ibogaine path. And once they do iboga, they're like, oh my gosh, it's like it's totally different.
Yeah, I can imagine that from what I've heard. Mm-hmm. We all know that how important set and setting is, but also when, I don't know if this is the way that you do it, but when I've sort of been around the edges of a few different ceremonies, but when I did it myself, which was a sort of weekend long ceremony, it was broken down into sections so that each night, you know, we'd take a bunch of medicine, have our dreams or experience, and then we would, I think there were actually four of us on the floor, and then each one of us would report what we'd been experiencing, and then the MC, the mystic, and this was definitely all sort of very mystic, would kind of give us feedback on our dreams. For me as a psychotherapist and a lover of psychology, I was so excited by that process. I was like, oh, we get to kind of like dive into our dreams, not only on our own, but then we get this kind of feedback and it all feels like this crazy quest. But it was also felt very vulnerable because I was, for me, I had this new sort of level of self-awareness, and I was talking and I couldn't stop myself. And I was like, oh God, you know what I mean? I don't know if you ever had that experience. I'm like, oh God, oh my God, I can't stop this. I'm so exposed. And so yeah, it was amazing. But I mean, did you do it like that? Like you had feedback on what you're experiencing during the ceremony?
There's different ways the traditions work. I come from the Masoko tradition. And there's the Dasumba, there's the Dasumba Feng tradition, or the Dasumba, which is the mother of all Bwiti, and they're the roots of the tree. The Masoko is the trunk of the tree, which is the trunk of the tree. And there are different branch which spawn different branches, like Asangwidia, which is the tradition that I'm involved in. And we all do things differently when it comes to serving the medicine and experiencing the medicine. So, but when you're with the medicine, it's still the same medicine, no matter what. It's at the end of the day, it's going to be the medicine that it's going to be between you and the medicine that's going to be doing all the work.
Yeah.
So, yes, it may seem like a dreamlike state from a West world context. Yes, that's the terminology that we would put on it. From a Bwiti context, it would be called the spirit world. It's more of you passing this veil, getting the clearance to open the veil. So there's this veil that you have to pass in order to enter the spirit world. Some people do it, some people don't. Some people just get to the veil, which the veil I call it the cosmic brain vomit, which looks kind of like the dreamlike state, but it's like it's to me, it reveals the insanity of the mind, and it's showing you your mind all at once, the capabilities of your mind and how you have no control over it. Once you get past this aspect and get past this veil, if you do, you learn the capabilities of learning how to control your mind and learning how to reconnect with your soul. So, like I said, I've seen other traditions do it differently. This is how we do it as Gangas, which means, you know, they're healers, medicine providers that help navigate you to the point to where you become the medicine. You become the navigator and you navigate through your dreamlike state, but it's not a dream. It's not your imagination. It's reality. It's the true reality of the spirit world. So after we leave here, that's where we go. This is where we will go. You will see where we will go. That's the beauty of this medicine.
So yeah, I'm wondering about, was there a visionary moment? Was there a moment of transformational and realization that you can kind of share from that first journey?
Oh,
yeah.
I got a few. I got a lot of them.
I bet.
But the one that sticks out to me, the one that was really important, was definitely meeting my soul. Definitely meeting my soul, which, you know, is like looking in the mirror. And
so when you met your soul, did you see your own face or how did it appear to you?
I saw me as I am now.
You saw you as you are now.
As I am now. Looking inside, like
which
I said,
was
like,
then your future self.
No, it was me now. It was my soul now, as me now. It's like looking into the mirror. So I'm looking into, but the soul can present itself in many different ways, many different shapes and forms. The soul is in control of itself. The soul can come back to you as a little kid. The soul can come back to you as you being a child. As your child self.
That's how it comes to me. Yeah.
Your soul can be a bird. Your soul can be. Yeah. I've seen it come a million times in different ways. My soul came to me as myself. And it told me the truth. It told me, you hurt me. Why are you hurting me? Like, why do you want to, why are you doing this to me? And that scared the shit out of me. I was like, those tears internally.
Yeah, I just really felt that.
Oh my gosh, like, I'm so sorry. And I got on my knees and was apologizing to my soul. And he's like, what are you doing? Why are you on your knees? He's freaking smacked me. Get up. Come on. And he gave me a hug and he said, okay. But you know what? I'll forgive you again, but this is your last chance. If you go back out there, you fuck up again. I'm taking you out. This is it. You're done. Yeah, and it was just one of the most beautifulest moments I ever had in my life. And I was just like, and then I became this superhero called Love Man. I came to this superhero called Love Man. I had a cape and everything. I had a freaking cape and I had my suit and, like, you know, Superman has an S, but I had like a big heart on my chest and I was shooting out hearts. I was shooting out hearts just like my Bwiti brother right here is shooting out hearts through his third eye. I was shooting out hearts through my third eye. That's where that came from, and shooting them through my heart. Because there's this darkness within that's not going anywhere. No matter how many plant medicines you do, what plant medicines you do, there's a balance within each man and woman.
Do you understand the origin of that darkness in terms of either your life story or bigger cosmic picture? Both?
I found out over time through the medicine, working with the medicine and working with even with some other medicines, like psilocybin, on how deep this darkness goes. And it goes way farther back than I can imagine when it comes to my ancestral bloodline. And it starts like this. Okay, we have an ancestral bloodline that started with a man and a woman, each and every individual person on this planet started with a man and woman somewhere, some frame of time, and it developed in over time, it developed into a timeline of a man and a woman, you know, breaking it down individually. So it's like there was a man and a woman here, then, you know, they had kids, and it just, you know, it just progressed all the way up down this timeline that led up to me, even me and Elizabeth. And now it's spread to now it's with my son and Gotti and my older son, Angel or Apunga. So within that timeline, you know, there's blood that has been mixing with other blood and traumas.
I was going to say trauma mixing with other traumas. Yeah.
Traumas mixing with other traumas. You know, it can go as deep as what you make it, because within these traditions there is a thing called magic and certain aspects and trajectories of these dualities,
yeah,
that happen to people. And that was involved in the bloodline. Death was involved in a bloodline. And we're not talking about that. We're talking about like taking lives.
Yeah.
Not me, so to say, but I'm just saying within the
history. The yeah.
I was able to see all this with Iboga.
Yeah.
I was able to see who did what, where, when, and why. How.
Yeah.
And yeah. Able to see all that.
Yeah, I think
and at the same time, while you're on that boulder, yeah, that sounds like, oh, that's scary shit, man. But it's like at the same time you're on that boulder and you're like, you know, you're feeling good and high, and you're just like, yeah, but I can let that go. But you have to know how to work with this medicine, and you have to really let things go in a proper way. And seal it up and get rid of it and heal it at the same time, and then keep it moving. That's the beauty of this medicine. That's the beauty, and plus that's the beauty of the provider too, because we help people do that, navigate through that. You know, it's almost like when somebody needs to, like when you, I gotta wash my clothes once a week, or not even once a week. Like, or it's like taking my mind needs a mental cleanse, a mental bath. But I need to wash my mind.
It's so funny. So, I was just talking to a friend about that. Like, who said brainwashing was such a bad thing?
Yeah, like you need to wash your mind. So you stay connected. You stay familiar with the medicines that are calling to you. I don't care what it is. You know, as long as you're taking a bath, that's all I care about. As long as you're taking a bath, you're staying focused. You're working on your integration. You're working on your intentions. You're working on your integrity, and your self-discovery is limitless.
Your self-discovery is limitless. Is that what you just said?
That's what I just said.
Well, that's worth repeating. I like that. I like that line, and I agree. And that's very exciting to me. It's a beautiful thing. I'm glad you mentioned integration, because actually I was just sharing with a friend that I, after I took a boga, which was, I don't know, now 7 years or something, it kind of grounded me. I couldn't, I could function, I could look after my kids, and I could do my practice. But all the other stuff that I was used to doing, which is sort of being in a bit of a manic overdrive, starting a million projects, going on trips, going, you know, to Burning Man, doing as much cool shit as I could do along with all the other cool shit and the difficult shit and the blah, 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 all that stuff. Yeah. And then, you know, and then suddenly I just felt like I was just like, my body felt full of lead. It just, you know, it just grounded me. That's the word I can say. And it just sort of forced me to really be with myself in a way that I never had.
Yeah.
Oh man, yeah. It was.
That's the beauty of the medicine. Yeah. And that's the beauty of the medicine. At the end of the day, you know, it's, you have to look after number one, and that is you. You know, it's just like when you board a plane, you know, and if the plane is going to crash and they give you the instructions, you put your mask on first, and then you help your kid or you help your neighbor, you know. Yeah. You need to, when it comes to self-discovery is the next phenomenon. And it's just hitting now, when in reality, there's been traditions that have been known about self-discovery for eons.
Yeah, I guess, why did we not rate it as important? I don't know.
Oh man, there's so many factors that play. There's so many factors,
history,
we got
the money making machine. Yeah.
Raping and pillaging. We got the war machine. We got, it's
a lot of machinery between us and ourselves. Yeah.
The dark side is deep. And that's a part of this spiritual war that I'm talking about. And it's like, we have to keep fighting or develop a relationship with it.
Thank you. Because that bit is the bit I'm really interested in. And I think it's interesting we're using this language of war and, you know, and fighting. And then I wonder, of course, I'm deep down a pacifist and super sensitive, and I just want us all to get along. But my a very sort of profound experience I had on a boga that I think I might be integrating my whole life, was I was told I was going to get a trip into the heart of darkness, and it was amazing. I went into this place where it was all darkness, and then these very, very sort of subtly etched shapes would appear, so you could kind of see them and you kind of couldn't, and they were these beautiful like monsters and ghouls, and I felt their suffering, and I had this thought, and I was like, what do you want? And they just wanted me to see them, and I was like, well, maybe all darkness wants is just to be seen. And that's all I got. Like, I don't have a resolution to that, but it put me in my heart in relation to darkness.
That's beautiful. So it's like turning the darkness into light.
That's it.
And so I was consumed by this darkness, as I can go into another visionary experience with you if you like.
I would love it. I've got a client at 2:00. It's 1:42. I want to hear. So your choice. I guess we got like, you know, let's say we got like 10 minutes and you choose.
Okay. So this visionary experience has something to do with my ancestors, but it's related to this darkness as well. And so there was a moment when I got back from Africa after doing the rite of passage and initiation, where I went and did another ceremony. And I felt like I needed to see my ancestors, visit my ancestors. And as I took the medicine, lay down and was with the medicine, didn't seem like, you know, I was going anywhere with the medicine. It was just dark. So I ended up taking some more medicine. And I ended up screaming out internally, I want to see my ancestors. Like, I want to see my ancestors. And all of a sudden, this like pyramid-like shape, form, structure broke through the darkness. And it broke through the veil, and I'm in the spirit world, just like that. And it's a pyramid. And I'm looking up at the top, and I'm like, wow, this is a pretty big pyramid. Good thing I have my cape and I could fly in spirit world. And
were you love man at this point? Were you still love man?
Of course. That's who I always am inside the spirit world. I flew all the way up to the top. And then I could finally get up there. And I look in the center and I see this 12-foot tall Bwiti shaman with his hands up into the sky. And with a beam of light shooting through his hands, and I'm like, look at him. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is real. I couldn't believe it because it just felt so real inside there. And it felt like I could feel like the dry heat. And it was beautiful, like I was inside the sun or something. And so he had this beam of light shooting through his hands, and I'm scanning him and analyzing him. And he's one of my ancestors.
He what?
And I look, he was one of my ancestors.
He was, okay.
And I look at his skin, and his skin was made of the universe and stars and just cosmos, and he's painted like Bwiti. But he was tall and strong and this big old cheesy smile, like just big old smile. And he's just looking at me with big eyes, you know, like, boom. And I'm like, what does he have in his hand? What does he have in his hand? And all of a sudden he brings his hands down, and it makes this one of the most beautiful sounds I've ever heard in my life in the world. Like, I've never heard any, when you're in that world, the sounds you hear are totally out of this world because they're in the spirit world and it's totally different. And it was just the most beautiful sound ever when he was just bringing his hands down. And I looked in his hands and I see this, I'm like, I look and I see this like live beating heart. And it's just like a live beating heart. Just beating, and I can hear it beating live and direct in his hands. And my soul is talking to me at the same time. My soul guides me through all this stuff at the same time, which is connected to Iboga. And Iboga is connected to my soul, and you know, they work together. He told me, you better grab that heart, pick that heart up. And so and I'm thinking, okay, yeah, I just got back from Africa, you know, it's just been a rite of passage initiation. I have to think quick on my feet. Boom, grab the heart. Boom. So I grab the heart, and then the shaman looks at me, my ancestor looks at me, and he's like, now what are you going to do with it? And like I said, back from Africa, okay, this is what I'm going to do. So I open my chest like a board game. I can see everything live and direct. Moving around, twitching, and all types of stuff. Then I look at my heart, and there's like no heart there. It was just a big black cloud. I called the nothing. That's what I call the darkness, the nothing. And it consumes you. And there was that cloud, that no heart there. The nothing was there. And so I was like, well, this is what I'm going to do. I just popped the heart right there, and I could feel the surges of the heart reconnecting in real time. like laying down on medicine, I could feel the shocks and the surges happening. And then that music got more intense, and it was just more intense, and it was just blowing up, and like, you know, it's like, he's back. He's back home. It was like a welcome. Sounds like you're back with us.
And sounds. Yes. You said welcoming sounds.
Yeah, like yeah. Music. Like this is the most beautiful music you've ever heard in the world, but it's not of this world. And it was playing louder. And there's correlations with that music and the Bwiti music at the same time. So they go hand in hand. Because when we have ceremonies, the music is playing no matter what. Because there's relations. So as this is happening, that music and everything and all this beautiful stuff is happening around me, like I'm being welcomed back home. The sun appears like above my head. It's bright light, just the sun. It was the sun. And then my soul is like screaming at me, put your hands in it. And so I was like, okay. And I put my hands inside the sun. And then I pulled out this, like a grail, like the first cup ever. And it wasn't like a flashy cup. It was just like a wooden cup, like the first cup ever. And it had this liquid in it, as bright as the sun. And then my soul's like, pour it on the heart. Hurry up. Pour it on the heart. And so I'm like, okay. So I poured it on the heart, and then it started like fusing to the heart and fusing and protecting it and strengthening it. And then it turned the heart into gold. And I just couldn't believe it. But I had to believe it because it was one of the most realest things I've ever seen. So that happened, and I connected. I kept the grail. The grail's with me, and closed the board game back into my superhero uniform and gave thanks to my ancestors, much love and thanks, and said peace, and then freaking took off and blasted off onto the rest of my journey, the rest of my visionary experience. And that was my introduction to my ancestors. But when we were talking about the darkness, the nothing, that darkness consumed my soul, consumed my heart. Not my soul, but my heart, consumed my mind and body. Because a lot of the darkness stems from the mind and the body. The soul is stronger than the darkness. The soul just gets trapped. But it has enough strength to just be like, not care.
Not what?
Not care. Your soul has enough strength to not care on how you treat yourself. If you want to treat yourself like that, and you want to go down these paths, then your soul will sit back, and it will either protect you or it won't. And usually your soul, you know, keeps you alive for as long as it takes. But if, you know, there's going to be a point where it's going to get tired. Your soul's going to get tired and just be like, can't take this anymore.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, it's time for you to check out. It's time to check out, my friend. You know,
I love the antidote to the, what did you call it? The nothing place? That sort of, the dark heart, the nothing.
The darkness, like a cloudy dark, like
opposite
of clouds. It's like the opposite of the beauty of clouds, but it's like it's nothing like it. This shit is alive. Like what you were talking about, ghouls and demons, and like it they live within there. And they shape and form, they formulate and they create, they have a part of that visionary experience.
So you met the nothing. Yes, and I agree with that. That you met the nothing.
I met the nothing. Okay. Experience.
I understand, but yeah. I'm saying in this sort of the transformational alchemy of this experience feels like, so you're replacing the nothing, or you're meeting the nothing with the everything. I mean, that the heart's energy is the energy of everything, and the sun's energy is the energy of everything. It's creation.
And so I had to defeat the nothing within my heart by replacing it, by getting rid of it with this new heart, with the golden heart.
The golden heart. That's so great.
The energy that has the energy of the sun, which hence furthermore created my name, Niangu, which is the meaning of the sun. And so that's usually when an individual has these experiences, you can even go in and ask, like, what's my name? What is my name? When it comes to the Bwiti tradition, it'll tell you, or it'll show you when you're ready.
I mean, I'm just wondering, at some point they might tell me my name is not Banana, and I'm going to have to just accept that.
Banana?
Banana was a self-chosen name, you know, from when I was quite a bit younger, but it's stuck with me, but I'm not sure it's my Bwiti name. I guess I'd have to see.
You'd have to find out.
Yeah. I'm up for that adventure at some point. The physical turmoil of the experience, I find very, what can I say? What's the opposite of attractive? It's not luring me in, you know.
It's different for everybody when it comes to the physical part of it, because, you know, really in reality, you know, you have physical attributes with all plant medicines. It's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be fun. Like, you know, we put ourselves through crazy things every day, and knowing that it'll hurt us. You know, there's people that do that. They'll know that it hurts them, but they'll still do it anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So why not do something that you're going to have a great benefit after the fact?
Yeah, I mean, there's some solid logic in that. I definitely see that it's probably worth it. I mean, it does make sense. I think, yeah, in terms of the calculation further down the line, I feel like that was really worth it. But then, you know, it's always a different, you're coming at it from a different angle when you're in the before rather than after. So, but yeah, well, you know, maybe I'll come out to Costa Rica sometime, and I'd love to meet Elizabeth properly, and I'd love to have more conversations with you. And this has just been such a delight. Thank you so much for sharing your stories.
No problem. Anytime. Like, you know, this is one of my paths. One thing that, you know, gotta help people. Gotta show them. Gotta lead them to the light. So
listen,
they say,
you know, you're love man. I mean, this is no small thing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's not. It's you know, it's hard work. It's a lot of work. You know, but
yeah, but someone's gotta do
it.
But I'm also
like this. Like, you know, hey, you know, do your thing, do what you need to do. And, you know, if that works for you, that works for you. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Like I have no control issues when it comes to what people need to do for themselves when it comes to self-discovery. Like, I'm still doing my self-discovery and working on myself. So, you know, don't listen to me, listen to yourself when it comes to your self-discovery.
I sense that permission that you offer as a teacher, and the acknowledgement that you are in it. And I don't trust anyone who, you know, takes any other position, frankly. All these, I always think about this. I'm like, all these men in the white coats, you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I'm like, we are it's all in it for the first time. It's like, it's ridiculous.
It's not even just men in white coats when it comes to the medical model.
Yeah, like, true. Even, fair enough. Yeah.
Even,
yeah.
Even in the psychedelic world,
oh,
quote unquote. Even in that world, like
even in the therapeutic world, yes, even in the shamanic world,
even in the therapeutic, yeah, like yeah, they, you know, there's a lot of advantages being taken of, and it's like,
yes,
you know, they all need iboga.
Yeah,
they need to relook at what they were experiencing with these medicines.
It's everyone needs some kind of system of checks and balances, and sometimes people wiggle out of that.
We're quite good at
wiggling out of it as humans.
I've seen the best of them. Yeah. Like, you know, they have the credentials. They have the notoriety, you know, and, you know, there's probably just as fucked up as the next man or
more.
Worse.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
More.
Exactly.
But they're still learning. Everybody's learning. So we just got to take it because it is what it is and it ain't what it ain't.
And everything is everything.
Everything is everything.
All right. So more to come.
Mm. Yeah, more to come, and, you know. Yeah, just if you when the time is calling you, we're here for you in Costa Rica. If you
thank you so much, I would not be surprised if that happens at some point. Boga. Yeah,
yeah, and same with your audience. Like, if you guys,
yeah, how do we find you? How do we find you?
Well, you can find me on Instagram at Chore Boogie. You can find more about our retreats at ebast.net. That's my wife's website. We will be working on a website for the retreats. You can also contact us or get a hold of us through iboldasoul.com. They're our Canadian partners. We're all like VT dream team. We work together. And you know, I also gotta mention that when it comes to the preservation of iboga, you know, also take a look into Blessings of the Forest, because they're doing a lot of conservation when it comes to the sustainability of iboga in Africa. So that's another thing.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for mentioning that. Actually, it would be great to talk to them and have them on this podcast as well. Is there someone there that you would recommend talking to?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Jan McGilley. Mutombo.
Masombo.
I can connect you with him for sure.
Beautiful. No beautiful
problem. Yeah,
thank you, Chore. Yeah,
awesome. Thank you
so much.
Yeah.
Hearing Chore's experience as love man made me think maybe this is the new archetype, this is the new superhero. Beyond Chore, isn't it a part of all of us that represents that faded, jaded, old world, nothing part, the part that feels dejected, that feels like it's not fully alive anymore? And isn't it time for an upgrade? Isn't it time to trade in the nothing part of our hearts for the completion of the heart of gold? Okay, so I'm a romantic, but here's the deal. Why not shoot for the moon, or in this case, the sun? It's not like each of us doesn't need to be at full capacity. There's plenty of work to be done. That's the way that I see it anyway. Thank you so much for listening. And if you enjoyed, please spread the love by rating, reviewing, and sharing this podcast. Until the next time.